Welcome to Just the Way It Was. This is Lucille Frances Fuller, the Jamaican storyteller. Before I begin to tell you a Jamaican story, I just want to take you back to the island of Jamaica. It is a beautiful island in the Caribbean. Lots of mountains, rivers, and plains. Undulating mountains, rivers meandering through the hills and the valleys and down to the sea. Beautiful white sands. Friendly people. It is somewhere one would really want to go for a wonderful vacation. Many years ago, the island was just as beautiful and so were the people. But they were not privileged to have the beautiful things like modern equipment and so on that they are there today. Those days, back in slavery, until shortly after slaves were emancipated, the people had life very hard. There were few roads, there were few jobs, there were little or no formal entertainment. So back there when we were growing up as children, for entertainment in the evening, our parents and grandparents would call us together if we were good and have done all that we had to do, and tell us stories of yesteryear, Anansi stories of slavery, stories of the hard time they have had. We would beg them, Grandpa, tell us a story. And sometimes they would start by saying, once upon a time, long time, many years ago, or at other times they would start by saying, Uncle Ramos is telling a story to the son of his mistress. And at the end of these stories, they would conclude by saying, Jack Mandora may not choose no more. Meaning that the ghost around who the stories were sometimes told about need to be satisfied that that would be the last story, so there's no need for them to tarry. There'll be no more story for this particular time. So we were always eager to hear these stories. Animal stories, where animals were like people, married, have kids, wear clothes, suit, hats, walk with walking stick, use an umbrella. Very fascinating. Okay, tonight I'm going to tell you a story about Brother Anansi and the bird Cherry Islands. Brother Anansi was very clever. He always be coming through being the winner. This particular time, for a long time, they had no rain in Jamaica. The plants were dying, the water drying up. So Brother Anansi had nothing to give his family to eat. No food. He was very sad. So this particular evening, he sat outside in the front of his yard, or in the front of his house. He put his head on his hand, and he was sobbing. What am I to do? I have no food, nothing to give my family. And he started to cry. Just then, Brother Blackbird came by and he said, Brother Anansi, what's the matter with you? Why are you crying? Brother Anansi said, my dear Brother Blackbird, there is no food in the house, nothing for me to feed my family. and they are hungry. What am I to do? But the blackbird said, "Oh, brother Anansi, don't you cry. Tomorrow we'll be going to the Bird Cherry Island. When all the cherries are ripe, we will take you with us." But Anansi held up his head and brightened up himself. And then he said, "I would like to go. I would like to go with you to the Bird Cherry Island. But I have no feather. I cannot fly. How am I to get there?" Brother Blackbird said, "Don't you worry, Anansi. Don't you worry. We will lend you some feather. You go in, have a good night's sleep, and we'll be back in the morning." Early next morning, Brother Blackbird met with all the birds, and he had a conference. He told them about Brother Anansi having no food to feed his family, nothing to eat. So he told them he would like to take Anansi with them to the Bird Cherry Island if all of them would consent to lend Brother Anansi a feather, each bird lending him a feather. Oh, they were happy, they were glad, they accepted. They said, "Yes, we will all lend Anansi a feather. We will, we will." And so they gathered at Anansi's house, and each bird gave Brother Anansi a feather. Some of the feathers were stuck on his back, some on his neck, some on his head, some on his legs, some on his hands, some on his side. Feathers were stuck all over Anansi. Then Brother Blackbird said, "Why don't you try your wings, Anansi?" Anansi went out, flip, 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 flap, and he fell. And so they gave him some more feathers. And for the next time, he went flip, whoop, whoop, zoop into the air. And all the birds flew away with Anansi to Bird Cherry Island. When they got there, oh, it was beautiful. All the cherries were ripe. Oh, mouth watering. You could just see the mouth watering when the seer saw all those ripe cherries. And they started to pick and eat, and they ate and ate and they ate for hours and hours. Juicy cherries. Okay, until it was coming to evening. So Brother Blackbird said, "Ladies and gentlemen, it's soon the evening, and we will have to fly back home before night. So let us stop for eating and get ready to go." Brother Anansi looked up at the sun, and he looked at the beautiful white cherries, and he said, "I cannot leave this place. No, I want to stay." Well, the blackbird said, "Anansi, you will have to go. If you don't come with us now, we will take back our feathers." But Anansi looked at the sun, and he looked at the beautiful ripe cherries, and then he said, "Ladies and gentlemen, I don't care. You can have your feathers. I will stay right here. Take your feathers and go." And birds took back their feathers, and off they went, zoom into the air, all the way back home. Brother Anansi kept eating and eating, and then he started putting some of the cherries in his right pocket, in his left pocket, in his back pocket, in his fab pocket, in all his pockets. He said, "Well, I'll take these home for my family." By then, the sun was gone all the way down, and it was getting dark. It was getting cold also. Brother Anansi was lonely. He felt sad. Again, he sat down and started to cry. "What am I to do? I have no feather. I need to go back home. I cannot fly." While he was there sobbing and crying and sobbing and crying, Brother Alligator popped up his head out of the water and said, "Hello, Anansi, is that you over there? What's the matter with you, McGah? You are crying again? What's wrong with you?"
brother?
Anansi said, "Oh, brother alligator, I am here cold. I need to go home, but I have no feather and I cannot swim." Brother alligator said, "Don't you worry, Anansi. Don't worry, I will take you home." Brother alligator decided to take Brother Anansi home. Brother Anansi was glad, and so he got down to the side of the water and he climbed up on alligator's back. Alligator swam off into the water and he took Brother Anansi to his home. He said, "No, Anansi, it's late. I cannot take you home tonight, so you will have to stay here with my children. Because my house is small and you will have to sleep with them." Brother Anansi said, "That's okay. I'm glad I have somewhere to stay." And so Brother Anansi went to sleep with Brother Alligator's children. Now you and I know that alligator's children are eggs. So he had 10 of them. 10 eggs were in the bed where Brother Anansi went to sleep. Okay, he went to bed. During the night, Brother Anansi felt hungry. About 12 o'clock, he got up and he nosed around in the room. There was nothing to eat, so he decided that he would eat some of Brother Alligator's children. And he took up one egg and he ate. He took up another egg and another egg and another egg. He ate 4 of Brother Alligator's eggs. 4 children, of course. Then he went back to sleep. About 3 o'clock in the morning, he felt hungry again and he got up and he started eating Brother Alligator's eggs. And he ate 1, he ate 2, he ate 3, he ate 4, he ate 5 this time. So in all, he had eaten 4 the first time and 5 now, making 9. Brother Anansi ate 9 of Brother Alligator's children. Then he went back to sleep. Early next morning, while Mrs. Alligator was stumbling in the kitchen, Brother Anansi got up, went to the kitchen and said, "Mrs. Alligator, let me help, let me help. I will wash the children." Mrs. Alligator agreed. Said, "Okay, Anansi, you can go and wash the children. Thank you very much for offering your help." So Brother Anansi went back into the room. He took a big container of water and he took up that one egg and he washed it. Then he laid down, he took it up again, he daubed some mud on it and he washed it and he put it down, and then up and daub and down and up and daub and down and up and daub some mud on it and wash it and put it down. Brother Anansi washed that one egg 10 times. Dry it and put it in the bed. By this time, breakfast was ready. So Mrs. Anansi called. Mrs. Alligator called out to Brother Anansi.
"Anansi, Anansi, please come for breakfast. Breakfast is ready. It's warm and hot and nice. Come on."
Brother Anansi went and he ate breakfast. He ate well, a hearty breakfast. Shortly after breakfast, Brother Alligator put Anansi in a boat to be taken home. Brother Alligator was busy. He could not take him home, so he got 2 fish to take him home. But something strange about these 2 fish. One fish could not hear well, and the other fish could not speak well. So, 2 fish rowed, and Anansi sat back. There they went, splish, splash, splish, splash, splish, splash in the water. When the boat was near land, Brother Alligator went in and found his children missing. So he was very angry and he rushed to the side of the water and he called out, "Bring back Anansi! Bring back Anansi! Bring back Anansi!" The fish that could not hear well said, "What did he say?" The fish that could not speak well replied, "Go go 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 go! Go 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 go! Go 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 go!" Again, Brother Alligator called out, "Bring back Anansi! Bring back Anansi! Bring back Anansi now!" Again, the fish that could not hear well said, "What did he say?" And the fish that could not speak well said, he said, "Go go go go! Go 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 go! Go 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 go!" Then Brother Anansi said, "Brother Alligator is calling out to tell us that there's a storm coming. Look over there. There's a storm coming. Row quickly. Row quickly. Row quickly." And so Brother Anansi took one of the oars and he started to help to row the boat. Zip, 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 splish, splash, zip, 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 splish, splash, until the boat reached land. And Brother Anansi jumped out of the boat and he ran home and hid himself in the ceiling of his house where the rafters are, away back behind in the corner. And from that day, Brother Anansi and Brother Alligator never agree. They were never friends again. And that is why Brother Anansi is always in the ceiling, out behind the rafters, in the top of the house, hiding. Jack Mandora may not choose no more. Here.
Welcome again to Just the Way It Was. Hello, my name is Sophia, and I'm going to tell you a story about Brother Rabbit and Brother Fox's garden. One day, Brother Fox went up to Brother Rabbit and asked him, would he like to make a garden with lots of vegetables, all the turnip and carrots and cabbage and corn. Oh, all the nice vegetables. But Brother Rabbit said, "I don't even like those vegetables. No, I don't want to make it. I don't even want to make a garden with you." So Brother Fox knew all of Brother Rabbit's tricks. So he said, "Remember, when I have my garden all fully and nice grown, don't come asking me for any vegetables." Oh, Brother Rabbit just put his head back and laughed. "I don't even like those vegetables, I just told you." Okay, so the time passed, and this day, Brother Rabbit saw all the nice vegetables in Brother Fox's garden. And his mouth was just watery. And he just looked inside the garden, and he said, "I have to go and get some. I have to go and get some." So he went to the gate and he was feeling for the latch, but there was no latch. He was thinking, how could this be a gate with no latch? Now, Brother Fox, he was smart. So what he did, he made a gate that had no latch because he knew that Brother Rabbit was going to try and get into his garden. So he made this very magic gate. Brother Rabbit was getting angry. He said, "I just have to find out how Brother Fox gets into his garden. I just have to. I just have to." So he planned to go out the next night and hide behind a bush to find out how Brother Fox got into his garden. So the next night came and Brother Rabbit hid himself behind this bush. He had his little black book and a pen ready to write. Brother Fox came out with his bag, just skipping along. Then he got to the gate, and he said, "Bermo!" The gate flew open, and he went inside. And as soon as he was inside, he said, "Crimp up, crimp up!" And the gate slammed shut. Brother Rabbit was behind the bush. He was just writing down all of these little things. So Brother Fox was just in getting all of his little vegetables and thinking about how he was going to cook them and eat them. And oh, he was just saying all these good things about them. Brother Rabbit decided that the next night he was going to go in and that he was going to get himself some of Brother Fox's vegetables. The next night came, and the moon was shining bright, and Brother Rabbit made sure to listen for Brother Fox's snore to make sure that he was sleeping so he wouldn't wake up in the middle of him trying to get his vegetables. So he got his little bag and he went off to the garden, and he got out his black book so he can get into the garden. He said, "Bad mug," and the gate flew open. Then he went back inside and he said, "Crimp up, crimp up," and the gate slammed shut. Brother Rabbit was in the garden getting his cabbage and his turnip and the corn and oh, all the vegetables he was just collecting and putting in his bag. While Brother Rabbit was doing this, the clouds just went over the moon, so it looked just like night. It looked very, very dark, and he couldn't see a thing. So Brother Rabbit still was just getting all of the other vegetables. Then Brother Rabbit was ready to go, but he couldn't see his black book. Now how was he supposed to remember how to get out? Oh boy, he was really in it now. He was just there sitting, thinking and thinking, how was he gonna be able to get out? Then he remembered something, and he thought that's how you're supposed to open the gate. So he said, "Crimp up, crimp up," and the gate even made two loud bangs, bang, bang. And Brother Fox heard this, and he said, and he jumped up, and he ran all the way to his garden. He said, "Who is that in my garden? Who is that in my garden?" He went to the gate. He said, "Burr mug." The gate flew open, and he went inside. He was looking around, looking around. Then he spotted Brother Rabbit's bag in the middle of his garden. He said, "Ah, Brother Rabbit, I know you're in here. Come out, come out. You're in my garden. Come out." Now, Brother Rabbit, he was very scared. So all while Brother Fox was coming closer and closer, Brother Rabbit went all the way to the back of the garden and hid behind this tall corn stalk. Brother Fox was just walking and walking closer and closer, but he had no idea where Brother Rabbit was. He just knew that he was in his garden. So he got to the back of the garden, and Brother Rabbit got so scared because Brother Fox was so close to him that his ears just shot straight up. Brother Fox saw his ears. He said, "Ah, I've got you now, Brother Rabbit. Yes, I've got you now." So he bent down and he grabbed Brother Rabbit's foot. Now, Brother Rabbit was a very smart rabbit. So he said to Brother Fox, "Brother Fox, why are you holding the corn stalk? Why don't you let go of the corn stalk and hold onto my foot?" Now, Brother Fox was kind of old, so he stopped and he thought about it. He said, "All right, Brother Rabbit." As soon as Brother Fox let go Brother Rabbit's foot and held on to the corn stalk, Brother Rabbit dashed out of Brother Fox's garden. As soon as Brother Fox had noticed what had happened, he got up and started chasing Brother Rabbit. But he was never able to catch him because Brother Rabbit was so fast. He just started just hopping, hopping, hopping to his house. From that day on, Brother Fox and Brother Rabbit never made friends again. Jack Mandora, Minutes No More.
I told you earlier on what it means to say Jack Mandora may not choose no more. Now I'm going to tell you about Duppy Market. Back in Jamaica, the main market in Kingston is the Coronation Market. That market, it is said, was built on a burying ground, a cemetery. So people often talk about seeing Duppy, which they call ghosts. This story that I'm going to read to you is about a woman near the Coronation Market one early morning before day and feeling that a Duppy or a ghost was standing by. Listen as I bring to you Duppy Town. Hi, get a child. How are you da do? A time for we wake up yet? Lock it dark, sir. Afraid so till I'll wash with cold sweat. What that you say? Your head a raise. Keep on your mouth, the girl. Train your eye. See one long white man the side of Miss Matty's stall. But what white man a do here now? This how of the night. That then I must adopt him, missus. Me this a pray for man in light. Coronation market for true. This year had Jumbi town. Must I write ya so the dopey man box down, Miss Liza? I'm nervous ya. Tap tap little. A where me foot a do de? Dem da foot no fi me foot. Get a dress down, child. Oh Lord. Me no got the new boot on me buy yesterday a butter store. Me frightened so till me can't know me own foot no more. Thank God, massa. Morning soon light. Next time we come a town for sell we goods, we are going to stay a penny shelter up the street. Not in a disappearing ground, a Coronation Market anymore. This was written in the mother tongue. And by mother tongue, I mean the language that Jamaicans just out of slavery would normally speak. They were not educated. They were not able to read properly. So they usually speak a mixture of English, Spanish, African language, etc. We call that patois. So as a school teacher, when I was back in Jamaica, when children come to me, they usually speak in their mother tongue. They speak patois. And I had to translate it into standard English. Of course, not all children were like that, but there were a majority of them who usually speak patois. For example, after the children have learned the English language, you would find them speaking good standard English. And here I will give you an example in a verse of a poem of exactly what I mean by saying the Jamaican children would speak standard English. By the sea, by 'tis a beauteous evening, calm and free. The holy time is quiet as a nun, breathless with adoration. The broad sun is sinking down in its tranquility. Listen, the gentleness of heaven is on the sea, and it doth its eternal motion, and make a sound like thunder everlasting. Dear child, dear girl that walketh with me here, if thou appear by solemn thought, thy nature is not therefore less divine. Thou liest in Abraham's bosom all the year, and worship at this temple in a shrine. God be with you when you know it not. Here you can see a contrast between patois and standard English. And I'm here to say that today what I am doing is trying to link the past with the present. Bring youngsters an awareness of where they're coming from, what life used to be, many, many years ago back in Jamaica and what life is today. And I want to let youngsters in particular know that they can get over the hurdles in life and become what they want to be. For example, if one is at point A today, one would look at the reason why they are here and the type of behavior they are exhibiting. And then to reach the point B, they would consider the consequences of their behavior to take them to point B. So we want young people in particular today to feel a sense of pride and self-worth, to feel proud, as it were, of where they are coming from, their heritage, their roots. And that is why I'm promoting cultural awareness, that people will have an understanding of past, present, and a goal to look forward to in the future. I want to say that this is a wonderful opportunity for me to be sharing this art of storytelling. May blessings continue to be with all of us as we look forward to a very progressive time and many, many more exciting Jamaican stories. I'll tell you one more very short story about Brother Anansi and the plantains. As I've said before, Brother Anansi is very clever. He's always winning. Always. This time, it was famine in Jamaica. Very little or no food to eat. And Brother Anansi was very concerned because his children were hungry. He had four members in his family, three children, his wife, and of course himself, making five. So he got up early one morning and he went out walking along the street, hoping to find something to take back home to give his family to eat. As he went down the street, he met Brother Tukuma. Brother Tukuma was coming with a bunch of plantain on his back. Oh, Brother Anansi felt good. He said, well, to my himself, I will get something to eat. But Brother Tukuma realized how clever Brother Anansi was, and he did not want to give Brother Anansi any of his plantain. However, because he realized that the time was hard and his family was hungry, he decided to give Brother Anansi four fingers of plantain. Okay, one for each child and one for his wife. And of course, none for himself. Okay, Brother Anansi was glad. He took his four plantains and he went home. He got to the fire at once and he cooked them himself. They were ready in short time. After the plantains were ready, he called everyone to the table and he shared out these plantains. He gave his youngest child the first one, the next child the next plantain, and the third child the next plantain, and of course the fourth plantain he gave to his own beloved wife. And they all sat down, and Brother Anansi went into a corner and he crouched down, put his head on his hand, and he felt sad. He started groaning. Mom, 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 mom. No one knew what was wrong with Brother Anansi. So the youngest child ran over and she said, Pa, Pa, what's wrong with you? Why are you making those funny sounds? Brother Nancy said, oh my child, I cannot explain. Go back and have your food. Enjoy your plantain. In a little while, the next child went and she asked the same question. And then the third child went,
Paul, Paul, I don't like to see you like this. What's wrong? What's wrong with you?
Brother Nancy, as usual, cunning.
Oh, my child, my child. I cannot explain, but I'm all right. Don't you worry about me.
Okay. The wife looked across. She said nothing. Then finally, the youngest child went back.
Pa, pa, take up half of my plantain. Take a half. Will you please do take a half of my plantain?
Brother Nancy took the plantain and he took a half. His face lightened up. Then the next child went, Pa, please take a half of my plantain too. He took a half. And the third child went and did the same, and Brother Nancy took a half. Finally, the wife went over. Oh, dear, why don't you take a half of my plantain too?
Please,
I'm sure you'll enjoy it. So Brother Nancy took a half of his wife's plantain. By this time, he was beaming over with joy. You could see the smiles on his face. He was happy. So he said, thank you very much. I have a wonderful family. And he sat down at the table with two plantains, four halves, two plantains. And each member of the family had just a half. That was exactly what Tukuma did not want. Brother Tukuma did not want Anansi to get any of the plantain. But using his wit and his cunning as usual, he got two plantains. So once again, we can see how witty and cunning is Brother Nancy. Thank you very much for listening. Jack Mandora may not choose no more. See you next time. Just the way it was. Yeah, yeah, yeah.